week's parsha is Parshas Yisro. And today is Tu B'Shvat. Actually, we just completed Tu B'Shvat. Nothing is by chance, and certainly there is a deep connection between Tu B'Shvat and Parshas Yisro. Like Tu B'Shvat this year occurred around the season of Parshas Yisro. It's worthwhile to try to discover what that connection might be. We all know that Parshas Yisro is the parsha in which we hear of the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah has a connection to the month of Shvat. The Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Dvarim, Eila Hadvarim, and these are the words, Eila Hadvarim, Asher Diber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, that Moshe told the Jewish people, Be'ever Hayardin, on the other side of the Jordan River, Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Malsuf, Ben Paran, Ben Tofav, Alavim, Bechatzeres, V'dizahav. It tells us where it was, and then when was this occurring? Vayihi Ba'arbayim Shana, Ba'ashtei Asar Chodesh, Be'echod LaChodesh. In the 40th year, in the 11th month, which is the month of Shvat. The beginning of the month of Shvat, Yiber Moshe B'nei Yisrael, Moshe told the Jewish people, Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem Osor Aleihem. Like all that Moshe and Hashem had commanded to the Jews. And it was here, Be'er HaYarden, Be'eretz Moab, Ho'il Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Azos Limor. Moshe began to Be'er, to clarify, to explain, to fully elucidate the Torah. So in the month of Shvat, the beginning of the month of Shvat, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu fully...
The 11th month.
Ashtei Asar, with an ayin, the 11th month. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah, started to, Ho'il Moshe began Be'eres HaTorah, to clarify and explain the Torah. As we all know, the Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, there are four dates for the beginning of the year in reference to different halachic categories. The Rosh Hashanah for years is for the years of a king in terms of dating a document, is Echad B'Nisan, the first day of Nisan. The Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behema is either Echad Be'elul, the first of Elul, or Echad B'Tishrei. The Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah is the first day of Tishrei. And the Rosh Hashanah for Peros Ha'ilan, the Rosh Hashanah for the fruits of the tree, namely that fruit that grows before this date cannot be used for Maaser, for the tithing, for the fruit that grows after this date, is Be'echad B'Shvat Kedivrei B'Shamai. And according to Beis Hillel Omrim B'Tu B'Shvat B'Chamisha Aser Bo. So Tu B'Shvat, according to Beis Shammai, really should be the first of Shvat. What we've celebrated today, the 15th, according to Beis Shammai, was really, this holiday is not on the 15th, it's on the 1st. And the Torah tells us in Parshas Tvarim that on the first day of Shvat, Moshe began to explain the Torah. Moshe began to clarify the Torah. So there's clearly some sort of connection between the teaching of Torah and Tu B'Shvat. And so the same way that in this year, Tu B'Shvat occur during the same week of Parshas Yisro that tells us of the giving of the Torah. And the Torah told us in Parshas Dvarim that Moshe explains the Torah on the day that according to Beis Shammai is Tu B'Shvat. We see that there is a connection between the concept of Tu B'Shvat, the concept of Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, the beginning of the fruits, that this is the date of the birth of new fruits. All fruits born from this date and on are of a new year, and the fruits from last year or of last year. There's a connection between the birth of fruit, Tu B'Shvat, and Torah, the teaching of Torah, the giving of Torah. So what is that connection? Before we get to answer that question, I'd like to first address a different question, a very basic question on this week's Parsha. And that is in the Aseret HaDibros. In this week's Parsha, we really have the entirety of the Torah because we have the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments summarize within them the entire Torah. In fact, the Hasidim point out that there are 620 letters to the Ten Commandments. Each letter corresponds to one of the mitzvos. There are 613 biblical mitzvos and 7 rabbinic mitzvos, to equal a total of 620. So the Ten Commandments correspond really to the entire Torah. So this Parsha really has the whole Torah in it. The Torah can be divided into 2 major segments, 2 bodies of law. We have the law that is between man and man, mitzvos bein adam l'makom, and we have the law that is bein adam l'chaveiro, between man and his fellow man, and then you have the law that is between man and God. Bein adam l'makom is between man and God, and bein adam l'chaveiro is between man and his fellow man. And in the Ten Commandments, we have both of those sets of laws. The first of the Ten Commandments is, I am God your Lord who took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. That's a mitzvah between man and God. The sixth of the Ten Commandments is, do not commit murder. That's a mitzvah between man and man. The second of the Ten Commandments is, do not have any other gods before me. Do not bow to them. Do not make any statues. And the seventh of the Ten Commandments is, do not commit adultery. Do not perform misdeeds in that realm. And that's, again, a mitzvah between man and his fellow man, whereas the second of the Ten Commandments, do not build idols, is a mitzvah between man and God. And the truth is, that's really the division. The first five commandments are between man and God. The second five commandments are between man and his fellow man. That's where we find it within the first Ten Commandments. There is an emphasis on the word Hashem Elokecha. For example, in the first commandment it says, Anochi, I am Hashem Elokecha, God your Lord. That's the first commandment. In the second of the Ten Commandments, do not have other idols. It says, Lo tishtachave lohem velo tavzeim, do not bow to the idols. Ki Anochi Hashem Elokecha, for I am God your Lord. The third of the Ten Commandments is, Lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav, don't bear your God's name in vain. The fourth of the Ten Commandments is the mitzvah of Shabbos. And there also we have that phrase. The Torah says, work for 6 days and do all of your work and rest on the seventh. Yom HaShvi, the seventh is Shabbos, LaHashem Elokecha, to Hashem, your God. And the fifth of the Ten Commandments also states, Kabeid es avicha ves imecha leman yarichun yamecha ala adama, asher Hashem Elokecha, No sin lach, that God your Lord is giving to you. In each of the first five commandments, you have this key phrase, Hashem Elokecha, God your Lord. So that's the question. So the answer why it says Hashem Elokecha is because these are mitzvos ben adam lamakom. That's why the second five commandments, the commandments 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, it doesn't say Hashem Elokecha. It just says Lo sirtzach, Lo sinach, Lo signov, Lo san evreyach, et shak. It doesn't say Hashem Elokecha said not to do it. Don't do it. Doesn't spell out God's name Hashem Elokecha, because it's not a mitzvah ben adam lamakom. It's not a mitzvah between man and God. It's a mitzvah ben adam lechavero, a mitzvah between man and his fellow man. But kabbis avicha v'asinecha. One second. I just said that the first five commandments are commandments between man and God, but the fifth is honor your father and mother, so that you will have a long life on the land that God your Lord is giving to you. How is that a commandment between man and God? That's seemingly a commandment between man and his fellow man. Man has an obligation to honor his parents. It's presumably not an issue of an obligation between man and God. Man and God, it's man and his fellow man. And yet, it's listed in the list of those commandments that are between man and the Almighty. The simple answer is that the reason why honoring your parents is included in the mitzvah of honoring, or is included in the list of the mitzvahs between man and God, is based on a Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, God says, anyone who honors their parents, it's as if they've honored me. The same way it says, Kabeid es avicha ves imecha, honor your father and mother, it also says, Kabeid es Hashem mehonecha. Honor God from your wealth. So the same way we must honor God from our wealth, we must honor our parents, our fathers and mothers. So there's a connection here between honoring God that the Gemara makes and honoring parents.
Where is that person?
Kabeid es Hashem mehonecha. It's in Mishle. Thank you. It's in Mishle. Right. In fact, the Gemara says, Hishva akasov kibud aveim lechvod hamakom, that the Almighty equates the honor of father and mother to the honor of God. And that makes sense. V'chein b'din, that also makes sense, says the Gemara, Shashlashtan shutvin ba, that there are three partners in the creation of man. Father is a partner, mother is a partner, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a partner. There are three partners in the creation of man. That's why it says, Kabiras Avich Vesimecha is like Kabiras Hashem Me'onecha. There's a similarity there. What's the connection between, why is it that honoring a father and mother is like honoring God? On a simple level, one could say, you honor your father and mother because you realize that that's where you come from. So, you honor your father and mother because you're aware that you come from father and mother. And once you're aware of where things come from, well, where do father and mother come? Father and mother come from their father and mother. And where do their father and mother come from? From their parents, all the way back to Adam and Chava. And where do Adam and Chava come from? From God. God created Adam, God created Chava out of Adam. So if you're aware of your roots, and you're looking at roots, and you're going back root to root to root to root, you'll eventually get back to appreciating the Almighty. So the same way you honor father and mother, it's equated to the honor of God. That teaches us something, that the same way that the honor of God is really a source of overwhelming reverence and overwhelming love, honor to father and mother also should be that way. We should really have a sense of awe, a sense of love, a sense of reverence about father and mother, a sense of tremendous regard for father and mother, the same way we have that type of regard to the Almighty. So that could be one explanation for why honoring father and mother is listed within the commandments between man and God, because honoring father and mother leads a person to honoring God Almighty. But I think there could be another answer as well. And it gets to another question, which is, why is it that honoring father and mother is included in the Ten Commandments? What is so, and presumably the Ten Commandments are the basics of Judaism. The basics of Judaism is believe in God your Lord, do not have any other gods before me. How is honoring father and mother more of a basic than v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, than love your neighbor like yourself? Love your neighbor as yourself is not in the Ten Commandments, but honor your father and mother is in the Ten Commandments. One answer that's suggested by the Netziv is that honoring father and mother, you're right, is something which is actually a mitzvah we could have thought of on our own. It's something somewhat reasonable, somewhat logical. Of course, you should honor your father and mother. You owe them a debt of gratitude. The whole world should respect the concept of gratitude. So I owe my parents. They made me. I owe them a great deal. So of course, I should honor them because I owe them. That's true. However, says the Netziv, it's included in the Ten Commandments to teach us that the honor due to father and mother is not coming from the fact that it makes sense to me, but I'm doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. I'm doing it because God told me to do that. And that's a concept that's necessary for all the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's a basic principle. That even things that seemingly make sense to me, I don't do it because it makes sense to me, I do it because God told me to do it. And therefore, even when there will be situations when it doesn't make sense to me, I'll also do it. Because Hashem said to do it, and that's why I do it, because God told me to do it. That's what the Netziv says. But I think perhaps there could be another answer as well. We find that whenever it's time for the Jews to get the Torah, there is a fight with Amalek. For example, before Parshas Yisro and the end of Parshas B'Shalach, there's a war with Amalek. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Refidim. Amalek comes and fights with Israel. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos that when the Jews received the Torah at Har Sinai, to some degree we were overwhelmed. That's the explanation the Maharal and others give. It was so clear to us that God was giving the Torah, we couldn't imagine not accepting it. So we needed to receive the Torah again when it wasn't so clear, and that was Purim time. Chazav v'kiblu b'imei Achashverosh, we again re-accepted the Torah in the days of Achashverosh. As it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, Kimu masha kiblu kfar, the Jews established and fulfilled what they had already once accepted. We received the Torah again, Purim time. And then as well, we had to fight with Amalek, we had to fight with Haman. Whenever it's time to get the Torah, we fight with Amalek. That's something we have to understand. What is the connection? Why is it that Amalek comes to fight against the receipt of the Torah? Another point that we find is that Moshe Rabbeinu has a unique role in the battle against Amalek. If Moshe lifts his hands, then the Jews succeed. If Moshe lowers his hands, the Jews fail. What is it about Moshe Rabbeinu that helps Moshe Rabbeinu conquer Amalek? To get to answer these questions, I think we should see one little piece from the Bnei Yisachar. Today was Tu B'Shvat. In Israel, there is a Kabbalist, Rabbi Batri, who on Tu B'Shvat has a mass prayer gathering of all the singles, all the young men and all the young women, and they pray for Shiduchim. They pray to get married. What is it about Tu B'Shvat? Why is that the day of praying to get married? So the truth is, the Gemara tells us in the Seches Ta'anis that on Tu B'Av, on the 15th day of Av, that was a day when the young maidens would go out into the fields and they would dance, and all the single men would find their brides amongst those women dancing. So what was it about Tu B'Av that was the date of getting married? Let's see what the Bnei Yisachar teaches us here. It's the very last paragraph on page Kuf Yud Beis. I only photocopied the second half of Kuf Yud Beis. Omar lecha tanira la'aniyot da'ati. Let me tell you what seems to me. The Gemara has an argument whether the world began on Tishrei or the world began on the first of Nisan. The truth is, that's really an argument as to when Adam was created. You see, we paskin, as a matter of halacha, that the world began in actuality on the first of Tishrei. That's why the first of Tishrei is a day of judgment, because if that's the day when Adam was created, the day Adam was created was the day he ate from the tree. The day he ate from the tree was the day that he was judged by God. So that was determined to always be for all time a day of judgment. So if Adam was created on the first day of Tishrei, Adam was created on the sixth day of creation. When did the world actually begin to be created? On the 25th of Elul. So if the world begins to be created on the 25th of Elul, v'atchalas b'riyas ha'olam hei b'p'chinas tar malchus b'chdei v'yikarei melech. God created the world to be called the king, ki ein melech b'lo am, because there is no king without a nation. God wanted a world to serve him. V'ine malchus, and behold kingship, sof ma'aseh, is the end indeed, b'machshav atchila, is the first in thought. And we know, v'Yisrael alu b'machshav atchila, Jews were the first in thought. In fact, Rashi says, b'reishis, in the beginning, b'shvil Yisrael shenikru reishis, for the sake of Israel who are called reishis, asher heimayam lichuhu, for Israel will be the ones who recognize God, v'heima yitchatnu v'yitchabu l'melech hakavod, and they are the ones who will marry and connect to the King of Honor, al yidei ha-Torah, through Torah, shenikreis reishis, which is called reishis. V'inei, and behold, amru razal, our sages taught us, arba'im yom kodem yitziras havlad, 40 days before the formation of a child, machrizin barakia, they proclaim in heaven, bas ploni l'ploni, the daughter of so-and-so is for so-and-so. U'kidugma halazu, so in the same way, Arba'im yom kodem chafhei Elul, 40 days before the 25th of Elul, who's manchel lefanenu, that's our time, Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av. So that's when Yisrael alu b'machshava, that's when God first thought of Israel, yitchatin b'melech hakavod, to get married to the King of Honor. Okay, that's why it's yom shu tishvatin yitchatin zebazeh. That's why it was a day of marriage. That's why it's a day when the shvatin got married with each other. That's why it was the day that Binyamin was allowed to remarry with the other tribes, and that's why it was the day when the maidens would go out and young men would marry them, because it's the day of the ultimate marriage. The ultimate marriage is the connection between God and His world. God is the male and the world is the female. The nation of Israel are the representatives of that connection. The nation of Israel are the representatives of the world who connect with the Almighty to marry the Almighty and to bring His word to this world, to bring His light into this world. When did God, as it were, proclaim who He's going to marry? 40 days before the formation of the child. The child is the world. The world began to be formed the 25th of Elul. 40 days before that is the 15th of Av. So if the 15th of Av is the day of the first ultimate marriage, that's why it became a day in our tradition of marriage. Says the Bnei Yisachar in his article on Chodesh Shvat, the same is true about Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, says the Bnei Yisachar, is a day, the ultimate marriage, because let's remember, the Gemara has an argument when the world was created. Some say it was created on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Aleph B'Tishrei, but others say B'Nisan Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created on the first day of Nisan. Namely, the same way when we say the world was created on Tishrei means Adam was created on the first of Tishrei. If we say the world was created on Nisan, Adam was created on the first of Nisan, and the world was created on the 25th of Adar. 40 days before the 25th of Adar is Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. So the same way the 15th of Av is a time of marriage, when God proclaims before the formation of the child who's the soulmate of the child, when God proclaims, I'm going to marry the Jewish people, so 240 days before the 25th of Adar is the 15th of Shvat, that's when God proclaims, I'm going to marry the Jewish people. So you say, what do you mean the same way? It's either one or the other. No, because Rabbeinu Tam said that they're both true. The world was created in thought on the first of, actually, I think in thought was the first of Tishrei, in actuality, in the first of Nisan. I think that's what he said. So they're both true. The world was created in one dimension on the first of Nisan, and another dimension was created on the first of Tishrei. One was in thought, one was in deed. So both dates are true. Both dates are really both the 15th of Shvat and the 15th of Av are a time of a tremendous marriage. So maybe we can go a little deeper into this, why these are dates of a tremendous union, of a tremendous marriage. The Torah tells us in Parshat Ki Tetzé, actually in Parshat B'Shalach, in last week's Parsha, that after fighting Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka, for the hand is on the case, the throne of Ka, of God. Milchama LaHashem BaAmalek Midor Dor. A war for God against Amalek from generation to generation. So the question is, why does he say Al-Kes Ka, on the throne of God? He should say Al-Kes Yud-Ke Vav-Ke, the full name of God. Why just the first two letters, Yud-He? Answers Rashi, as long as Amalek is in the world, the name of God is incomplete. The name of God is not Yud-Ke Vav-Ke, the name of God is Yud-Ke, as long as Amalek is. What's the meaning of this? As long as Amalek is in the world, the name of God is incomplete. The name of God, Yud, He, Vav, and He, the Kabbalists teach us, really represents the full composite of a human personality. The Yud corresponds to the concept of Chachma, to the knowledge, the first knowledge of things, being aware of things. The He corresponds to the concept of Bina, understanding, to realizing all the details. You know, for example, if I were to put my hand on this table and the thought arises in my head, beginning quote, I'm touching a table, end quote, that's chachma. When I start to realize what's within that, to understand the details within that thought, a table takes up space, a table is cool on a cold wintry night. When I think of the details, that's already understanding, that's bina. Understanding, that's represented by the letter He. The Yud represents Chachma. The He represents understanding. Vav represents already feelings. It's the six feelings of Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yisod, sometimes called the ear. And finally, the He represents another feeling, the feeling of Malchus. In fact, in Kabbalah, all of these different aspects of the human personality are given names. Chachma is called Abba, Father. And Bina is called Ima, Mother. And the six feelings, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, are called Ben, Son. And the last feeling, Malchus, is called Bas, Daughter. Abba, Ima, Ben, Bas. Amalek divides Yud-Heh from Vav-Heh. Moshe Rabbeinu says there's a war against Amalek, because as long as Amalek is in the world, the name is not complete. In other words, what happens? Amalek divides Yud-Hei, Chachma and Bina, from Vav-Hei, from the feelings. Chachma and Bina is thought. Amalek divides thought from feeling. In other words, Amalek says, yes, there are certain religious truths. There are certain phenomena that seem to reveal a certain truth. But don't let that truth get to your heart. Don't let that excite you. Don't let that change you. Don't listen to it. It's really not relevant. It happened, yes, but the mind is in one place and the heart is somewhere else. Don't let what your mind seems to be telling you be fully assimilated to reach the point that it becomes part of your feelings and your heart. No, the mind and the heart should be separated. Separate the mind from the feelings. Separate what you see from what you feel. Separate what you comprehend from what you accept. Separate what you seem to know from what you internalize and really act on. Separate the mind from the feelings. That's the whole idea of Amalek. For example, Gemara tells us that Amalek is represented by the word karcha. He met you, or with Haman, karahu, all that occurred to him. Mikra. The word kara is from the word mikra, happenstance. Amalek says, the Jews just crossed the Red Sea. Yeah, that's true. It was a happenstance. It was a Ruach Kadim, there was an eastern wind, the tides were going out, and the Jews happened to be walking through just at the right time when the tides were there. And then, just as they crossed, the tides turned, and that's why the Egyptians drowned. It's not relevant. Did it happen? Yes. But it shouldn't change your life. Don't internalize that. Don't become a different person. Don't say, oh, God can split the water and turn the water into dry land. God is in charge of the world. He punishes his enemies. He rewards his servants. Don't say that. No. It's a happenstance. Yeah, you know it, but that shouldn't get you all excited. Don't let that come down into your heart. Amalek divides the mind from the feeling. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Kabbalistic and Hasidic literature, is the paradigm of Da'as, the concept of Da'as. In the letters that I mentioned, Yud is the letter for Chachma, He is the letter for Bina, Vav, which has a gematria value of 6, represents Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and He, the last He, represents Malchus. Where's Da'as? There is no letter for Da'as. Because really the idea of Da'as is that it's all integrated. Doesn't stand alone at all. The idea of Das, real knowledge, is an integrated person. A person who's fully focused, really concentrating on something. Here's an idea, that's it, he's changed. That idea goes right into the mind, and from the mind right into the heart. Excites his feelings, it becomes part of him. It permeates right through him. It doesn't go to the mind and get stuck there. It goes to the mind, and from the mind right into the heart, and from the heart into all of the feelings, and now it became part of him. It's him. He's acting on it. Right away, he's acting on it. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the root of that? So I heard from my teacher, the root of Das is being aware of what really matters. When a person knows what is really, really important, and what he's hearing the things that are really important, he really values those things. Then those ideas come right into him and he internalizes them and he becomes a different person based on them. He really values things. Amalek doesn't value things. It's not important. Yeah, a miracle, it's not a big deal. It's not really a miracle. Who says? Maybe it was just the tides, they say. So Amalek is the opposite of Das. Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite of Amalek. When Moshe Rabbeinu lifts his hands, Amalek starts to fall. Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of Das, is the paradigm of an individual who's connected, who's integrated, who has merged together the intellect with the feeling. An idea that comes into his intellect because he's so focused, goes right into his heart, and it penetrates fully through the mind all the way to every part of his person. He becomes excited about it. My teacher, this Tachina Rebbe, said, you know, the difference between Amalek and Moshe Rabbeinu in his mind, sort of as an example, is the difference between some people need to have a meeting to make any decision. So that's already not the Moshe Rabbeinu approach. That's not being fully open. You know, maybe this, maybe that, need to have a meeting, need to talk about it, need to discuss it, think about it. That's already not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Word of God. Oh, I'm running to do the Word of God. This is what God wants. You know, that's what what God wants me to do. I'm excited. I'm running. It goes right through the mind, into the heart. No vacillation, no hesitation. I don't need to discuss it. I don't need to think about it. I understand this is the Word of God. I need to do. I need to be excited. I need to be acting on it. Right away, if it's the Word of God, it comes right in. I'm all like, yeah, he cools us down. Don't get so excited. He jumps into the boiling water in the language of the Medrash. Don't get so excited. God said, okay. And maybe God tomorrow will say something else. Maybe you should think about it. Did God really mean it? Are you sure you knew what he said? Amalek is to cool us all down. Have meetings, have discussions, maybe yes, maybe no. Delay, have a meeting, to have another meeting, to have a third meeting. Constantly table propositions. Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite of Amalek. The Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. Before the Torah is given, it has to be a battle against Amalek. Because for the Torah to be received, we can't have a division between Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh. We can't be on the level of Kes-Ka. For the Torah, it's Yud-Keh, Vav-Keh. For the Torah to be received, it's not that, the things will go into the mind and they'll get stuck there. That's not why God gave the Torah. God didn't give the Torah for us to just have an intellectual exercise, an academic experience. God gave the Torah for it to go into our hearts and go into our minds and from our minds into our hearts and for us to act on it. This is what God wants. This is what I want. God said, I'm going to jump and do. Whatever he says, I'm going to jump and do. That's how God gave the Torah. God gave the Torah for people who have hearts open to receive, to immediately accept and immediately fulfill. That's the meaning of Torah. The meaning of Torah, Na'aseh v'nishma. Well, as Samson Raphael Hirsch comments, we know that the halach is, in terms of tefillin, that there is tefillin of the head and there's tefillin of the arm. Tefillin of the head represents all the nice, wonderful ideals, the ideas of Judaism, to care for the world, to believe in God, to be a good person, to be a kind person. And tefillin of the arm represents doing, carrying it out. Halacha says you put the tefillin of the arm on first, then you put the tefillin of the head on, and you take the tefillin of the head off first, then you take off the tefillin of the arm, because you never are supposed to be at a point where you just have tefillin of the head. You never should be at a point where all you have is the nice ideals, all the wonderful ideas, but the doing isn't there. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want it to be stuck in the mind. He doesn't want Kes-Ka, Yud-Heh, just the Chachma and Dina. Just to reach that the ideas, you heard about it, you studied it, you read about it, but you're not yet going to do. That's not what God wants. God wants a mind that's integrated with the heart, with the feelings, with the doing, that right away it comes in, this is the will of God, this is what God wants, I'm rushing to do it, fully integrated, fully rushing, without any hesitation. So before we get the Torah, there has to be a battle against Amalek. Both physically, that physical battle represents a spiritual battle. That's why before the Torah was given, at Sinai, there's a battle with Amalek. And before we accept the Torah of Purim, again, there's a battle with Amalek. We have to get rid of this hesitation, this vacillation. Get rid of this sense, we can learn about it, but we won't do it. No. If this is the truth, then of course we need to do it. This is what God wants. Of course we need to fulfill. It comes into our mind, and right away from our mind into our hearts without any barrier, without any break. I mentioned that Kabbalah teaches that a family is representative of this dynamic. Father is representative of Chachma. Mother is representative of Bina. You can see this in the fact that just as Chachma is sort of the beginning of knowledge, getting the sense of a big picture, and Bina is to pull out all the details, in a family, father contributes a drop of seed, and mother pulls out of that seed all of the details inherent within it, to turn out of a seed a whole child. It's all coming out of that seed. And then the child comes, that's the ben, or a daughter, a bas. In a family, you have Chachma and Bina, Abba and Ima, and Ben and Bas. Yud is Abba, it's Chachma, He is Bina, Ima, Vav is Ben, and He is Bas. A fully integrated family is Yud Ke Vav Ke. That's the Yud, He, Vav, and He. That's a fully integrated family, a fully connected family. The month of Shvat is the 11th month. 11. You get 11 by adding 6 and 5. 6 is the gematria of the letter Vav. 5 is the gematria of the letter He. Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, you get 15 by adding Yud and He. 10 and 5. Tu B'Shvat really represents Yud Ke Vav Ke. The 15th day of the 11th month, combining the number 15 with the number 11, equals 26. That's the name of God, Yud Ke Vav Ke. Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, really represents combining together Yud He plus Vav He. Tu B'Shvat really represents combining together Abba, Ima, Ben and Bas. Tu B'Shvat is the day of children, the day of fruits, when the trees, the father and mother, are producing fruits, are producing children. That's the beginning of the children. That's the creating of the fruits. It's the symbol of the Abba producing the children. The Abba and Ima producing children. Right, right. For man is like the tree of the field. That's what Tu B'Shvat is. Tu B'Shvat represents, really on a hidden level, the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, all being integrated. That's how you find Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was the paradigm of Das, of integrating all together. The opposite of Amalek. Amalek separates the mind from the heart. And Moshe integrates the mind together with the heart and the doing. Moshe pulls it all together. Moshe Rabbeinu, the personality of Das, when does he begin to teach the Torah? On Shvat, month of Shvat. Because what's the Chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu, the new idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, unlike the past, it all has to be integrated. So the month of Shvat, the 11th month, which is a combination of 6 and 5, of the Vav and Hey. On the 11th month, in the beginning of the 11th month, Moshe Rabbeinu, he brings the Torah down. He reveals the Torah. He explains the Torah. Ho'il Moshe be'eras ha-Torah azos divnei Yisrael. Moshe begins to explain the Torah. Moshe fully explains the Torah in the 11th month because Torah is something which goes into the lower realms. It goes into the realm of feeling and the realm of doing. Torah is not just in the realm of the mind. It spreads all the way out, all the way through. That's the Torah comes all the way through. That's the month of Shvat, and especially Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat represents this day of combining together the Yud and He and Vav and He, combining together Abba, Ima, Ben and Bas, combining together the father and mother with the son and the daughter, to integrate it together, the opposite of Amalek. Amalek is to separate father and mother from son and daughter. And Tu B'Shvat represents on the calendar these ideas of integrating father and mother and son and daughter together, integrating it all together to be all combined. Perhaps that's the reason why we read Parshas Yisro. This week we had Tu B'Shvat today during the reading of Parshas Yisro. The same way we need to hear of Machias Amalek, we need to hear of the destruction of Amalek before we hear of receiving the Torah. We need to hear of the destruction of the concept of just case ka before we get to the Torah, because when we get to the Torah, it has to be an integrated, holistic Yud Ke Vav Ke, where the ideas go into the mind and from the mind into the heart and into doing. So too, we have Tu B'Shvat before we receive the Torah. We have Tu B'Shvat before Parshas Yisro. To have an integrated together that concept, we need to integrate together the ideas of the mind into the heart, to be people of Das, people of focus, people who are committed, that when we hear what God has to say, right away we do. It's not that maybe yes, maybe no, we need to think about it. We do. If God said, we do. It comes in and that's it, we're going to do right away. It comes from the Almighty into our mind and then into our hearts, and we're going to fulfill whatever the Almighty commands. And maybe, maybe, that's the reason why Kibud Av Va'Em is in the Aseres HaDibros on the side of Mitzvos Ben Adam HaMakom, Mitzvos between man and God. Because Kibud Av Va'Em really means to connect children to parents. It means all types of connection of children to parents. It means physically that I should be connected to my parents, but also within myself. My feelings are my children. My mind is the parents of those children. The feelings relative to the mind are like parents to children. They need to be integrated. They need to be connected in order to serve God. In order to hear the Torah of God, to hear God's Torah, to hear the Ten Commandments of God, we need to have an integrated and a merged together family unit of children with parents.
Where are you going in?
Right, 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 right. You need to have a merged together. Right, you need to have a merged together Av, Ein, Ben, and Bas. You need to have a Kabbidus of Icha Vesimecha. When you have a Kabbidus of Icha Vesimecha, when the inner children, namely the emotions, are respectful of their parents, of the mind, namely the ideas of the mind go right into the emotions and they right away translate it into action, then you have Kabbidus Hashem Me'onecha. Then you have honor God from your wealth. Then you'll have service of God. Then you'll listen to the words of the Almighty. And then you can receive the Torah. You can receive the Torah if a person is committed to Torah, if a person is open to hearing and concentrating. And the moment it comes in, he's focused, and that's it, he integrates it, it becomes part of him. A person like that's going to get the Torah. A person who's focused and committed and passionate, and the mind is connected with the feelings and the doing, the moment it comes into the mind, right away, it becomes part of the feelings and the doing right away without any hesitation. That's a person who receives the Torah. That's the way to serve God. That's the culminating mitzvah between man and God. The final mitzvah between man and God is honor your father and mother. The final mitzvah, that which integrates, that which connects man with the Almighty, is to be a person who is connecting father to child, connecting parents to children, someone who is connecting the mind with the feelings, someone who is a person of Tu B'Shvat, Ki Adonai Tassada, connecting the fruits and the trees and seeing now new life is being born. This is the connection. This is the Yud Kei together with the Vav Kei, the 15th on the 11th month. Someone like that is someone who's going to receive the Torah, hear the Torah, and listen to the Torah. And obviously for us, the lesson is that when we learn Torah and when we hear the good instruction of the Torah, we need to be people who are passionate about fulfilling the Torah. That if the Torah tells us to keep the laws of Tarat HaMishpacha, so it's not something to say, well, maybe yes, maybe no. Oh, Tarat HaMishpacha, tremendous. To jump, to fulfill the commands of Torah. The Torah tells us to keep the laws of Shabbos. To jump, however way it tells us, to jump, to do it, right? It comes into the mind, and right from the mind into the heart. To be people who are passionate about Torah, where the ideas come into the mind, and then right into the heart, right away, without any hesitation, without any vacillation, without any waiting for meetings and votes and considerations, just to do. The Torah says, I understand that I'm doing, because my mind, it goes from the mind right into the feelings, and from the feelings right into the doing, without any break, with seamless integration. That's the way it should be, seamlessly integrated. That's the way we should observe the Torah and mitzvot, and hopefully then we'll have a good year. It's Rosh Hashanah today, it was. Hopefully we'll have a good year.